I say with great pleasure. Damn, Skippy, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You know who it is, John Lopez. I am Reginald Atatula, back from a little bit of time off. And, of course, Figgy Fig always making sure that we sound good, making sure that we...
A little vacation, a little beach, a little fishing,
no,
little surfing.
No. You can always get involved with the program, 713-572-4610. That is the number to text. And always appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams. Both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. Appreciate you guys welcoming me back to the airwaves. No, it was not on vacation per se.
What's the matter with you, man?
I will say I was off work, and that sometimes that's enough, right? Sometimes that is enough. But I had a little bit something else to do. If you'll oblige me, indulge me as I become a little self-centered for a moment. But I know that a few people were curious. And I'm probably...
Well, the reason I brought it up, I wouldn't have done it, but you're wearing a shirt.
I am.
So people are going to ask.
That's why I wore the shirt, because people were going to ask, where were you? Well, I mean, maybe some people. I don't know how many people
actually
care. Well,
they're going to ask you about the shirt.
But yes, I wore the shirt in order to answer some of the questions, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And the shirt, can you do a little reading for me?
It's, move the microphone. It's a great day to be a donor, hematology, stem cell transplant. How about that?
There you go. So my time off was spent in Nashville, Tennessee, at the Vanderbilt University Medical Center. I might be telling more information than my mom probably wants, but you know, it is what it is. I'm trying to be a more transparent human being with our listenership. But yeah, I did that because I was a bone marrow donor.
How about that?
In order to, you know, kind of harvest the stem cells and help towards my little brother who has sickle cell anemia, help towards what I believe is a curative process for him.
Well, good for you,
and
man.
So yeah, that was what
did
I was
it hurt?
Doing. I mean, not for me.
Yeah.
You know what the surgery process was for me?
Go to sleep.
I blinked and then I woke up and I was laying him back. Like that's all I experienced.
So even thankfully. Afterward, you were cool?
Recovery process was pretty good for me. I mean, I did not have major pains. Kind of dull aches was mostly what I was dealing with. So very happy that it went that way. Still got a little pain in the lower back, but hey, man, it's nothing I wouldn't trade for what the upside is of it. I say that one to let you know that, you know, I wasn't just out here lollygagging, although I think it was within my right if I wanted to. But also... all of that, the self-indulgent is to say, you know, if you do have an opportunity to, you know, donate, whether obviously a little selfishly is just my kin. But I mean, obviously, if you have the opportunity to donate to someone in an even more altruistic way, please do. It is really and truly giving life.
Yeah, man.
All right. Let's get to the stuff that people care about for real. Somebody said, well, who's the stranger on the airway? Where's Luke? I anticipated that. And you know what? I appreciate it.
Hey, Luke was going strong for what? Probably 7 days.
At least.
He was.
Yeah.
And I tapped in a little bit. And I mean, not that I was expecting anything different. But I was like, hey, man, I might need to get back to work. Luke is cooking, brother. Very good. Hating-ass Luke showed up, too. I love it, man.
He was in that seat from Monday to Monday, I want to say.
Yes, sir. So shout out. Much appreciation to Luke Morrow filling in. We've got such a great staff here, man.
We do.
Anybody jumps in, and you know you're going to have a good time. Let's try and have another good time here on a Tuesday, as this Tuesday sees us 7 days removed from the start of Texans training camp 2025. Can't believe we are almost there. And so with that being the case,
they report a week from today, baby.
They sure do. Well, is it report a week from today?
Yeah, and they practice on Wednesday.
Right.
Yeah.
That is correct. All right. So my days were slid in a way in my mind.
So what day are y'all going out there?
We'll be there Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
Yeah.
We don't report with them?
No, we can.
I was like, we don't need to get fitted for nothing.
Y'all can watch them mow their lawn.
Height, weight. Of course, you're 5'11 and a half.
Don't do that.
We already know that.
I only been back for like 6 minutes, bro. How did that happen?
He put him on the depth chart, 5'11.5.
But that's where you're wrong. Because even on the depth charts, they're going to at least lie and add an inch or two. So, no, we're not doing that. But with the Texans reporting a week from today, what are your best case and worst case scenarios at these important position battles? Again, get involved on the text line, 713-572-4610.
Yeah, look, I feel like the first time I see Blake Fisher, he's going to punch me square in the nose. And it's not really personal. I think a lot of people are wondering about right tackle. And you know, who's going to be there and some of the, so like best case and worst case is how I want to put it. Best case scenario, again, please don't punch me in the nose. I don't want Blake Fisher to be the right tackle.
Oh, see, when you say it like that,
I don't want, I think I want him, I'd love for him to be a swing tackle, a backup tackle. or whatever it might be. But you drafted Tay Ursary. He can play left tackle, obviously. I'm guessing he's going to be able to switch. And I think he took some reps, didn't he, at right tackle as well during minicamp? I think he did.
I mean, some reps, seemed like the majority, the lion's share went to Blake Fisher at right tackle.
Trent Brown is still out there.
You just love bringing up this Trent Brown, don't you?
I do. I don't.
Do we know where he is in his recovery process?
No. And he was held out and all that. And I don't know how good he's going to be, but I know what he's done. You know, that's where I land with that. Ideally, best case scenario at right tackle, Tay Ursary. Worst case scenario, a bad Trent Brown. You know, that would be me. How about you at any other position, really? Because I popped some up there, and I'm curious if you have a best case or worst case with whether it's right tackle, left tackle, maybe wide receiver. Where does it fall for you?
I think you. That's a interesting perspective. I don't get there in the same way that you do because I am not as down on Blake Fisher, although as I'm rewatching, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm seeing some of the things that maybe I did not see that I imagine that you put you in a place where you're like, I don't want this to be my primary option at right tackle. But I do feel okay, especially with the idea of next to him, a veteran and seemingly accepting more of a veteran's role as we would typically or stereotypically maybe view it. Titus Howard at right guard. I do like Blake Fisher there, but I do understand where you're going. Arionte Ursary would be the best case scenario because that means that Arionte Ursary, one, has signed a contract, which we'll talk about more. But one also that Arionte Ursary is, you know, up to speed and playing at a level where you feel not only confident in him playing, but also confident in him being better than what you've gotten out of Blake Fisher, which even however you feel about Blake Fisher, he was at least like near some level of like average starting right tackle.
Right.
And so if you have a guy who's like, all right, I feel comfortable that he will be average starting right tackle on day one, that's a good thing. The only thing that would give me pause on that is that best case scenario? Because probably absolute best case scenario overall for Arionte Ursary in particular is he's good enough to be the left tackle right now.
Oh, that would be the ultimate. That would be the absolute ultimate for sure.
But that's probably unreasonable, although it would be, I think, the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is, probably like Trent Brown would have to be in that space because, again, he's coming off of that torn patellar tendon. Like, we're still, the ramp up is still necessary. So the idea that maybe they get to a point where they don't feel comfortable enough about Blake Fisher, that they don't have enough figured out on the interior to even move Titus Howard back out to right tackle, that they would have to go, hey, coming quickly off of an injury here, we need you so badly, Trent Brown, to step into this place that here you go. I think that would be the worst case scenario.
Another one that I have is tight end. To me, best case scenario is not Dalton Schultz. Again, all due respect, I think we know what he is.
Man, you just send yourself up with some
a lot of punches in the nose.
I was watching.
Remember, you're gonna be out there next week, man. You're gonna see these guys. They're gonna step to you as a man.
Yeah, you know me
as a man. come over here. I just want to talk.
The first interview on In the Loop will be Blake Fisher.
It'll be Dalton Schultz and Blake Fisher.
Can you, somebody make sure to reference the Jeffrey Simmons situation? Yeah. Get you one.
No, in all seriousness, Dalton Schultz, I think, has a very important role on this team. But that's not the best case scenario. I mean, I think we know what his ceiling is. He's reached it. He's a veteran, et cetera. And he had a down year last year that really wasn't his fault. And I always point that out. You know, that was Bobby Slowick's fault for putting him on those islands, you know, and having to block these fools all by himself. This has nothing to do with what I think of Dalton Schultz. The best case scenario, though, is Cade Stover steps up. And Cade Stover is the complete tight end that a New England Patriots-styled offense loves, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. If the pass catching or the passing portion of the game for him gets to a place where it's just like, okay, we don't need to play Dalton Schultz.
They'll go to tight end.
Right, exactly. We don't need him to be the primary tight end, even though you've invested a good amount in him to be that caliber of tight end.
Right.
That would still be kind of a little bit of a you know, something to swallow within this. But you're right. Like, if Cade Stover takes that level to jump, and I know our guy John Harris is very fond of that possibility in this season, if he takes that kind of jump, you know that he is capable. He has the physicality and the want to be the blocker that you need, especially in a system that would prioritize that. That would be absolute best case scenario, with all due respect to Dalton Schultz, who I do anticipate a better season. I do wonder how much better, though, because better for him does not inherently mean that it's going to be match what the contractual expectations are and what you would hope from him in this season.
I expect a better season just because of the system. I mean, they were frankly just unfair to him last year. Let me ask you this. What's the best and worst case scenario at running back?
That is a very interesting one because there's a lot of space for that when you look at the entirety of the room being Mixon, and then you also add Chubb, then you have Damian Pierce and also Woody Marks, and then let me make sure I'm not forgetting Dare. Is there anybody else?
JJ
Taylor that you could get in there as well. I mean, best case scenario is that Nick Chubb looks like pre-injury Nick Chubb, mm-hmm. and Joe Mixon continues to be able to handle the load sans injury, and you just get a two-headed monster that is really, really terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would need a little bit of Woody Marks in there as well, just because of the future aspect of it, right? Like, I think there has to be some element of him in mm-hmm. here as well, because the worst case scenario would also be some level of, I don't know. There's a lot of different permutations on worst case scenario.
Well, you mentioned mine because I've been a big fan of Nick Chubb. I'm more confident in what he will look like. And of course, I'm just basing this off of workouts, so I could be unfair too, but I'm very confident in what he'll look like here. But really the best case scenario for me is not just Joe Mixon, the given, and Nick Chubb looking well, looking good. It's like, hey, have y'all seen Woody Marks? Have y'all noticed him? Because here's the other thing that people, it's weird how the point that a team is at in their existence changes the way you look at particular players. Woody Marks was drafted in the same round as Damian Pierce, fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, when Damian Pierce was a rookie, we were like, all right, this guy's going to be really, something or whatever. And people are just like, well, let's see what Woody Marks does. What if Woody Marks steps up and looks the part? A fourth round pick is not a real low pick for a running back.
No, it's not. Despite the way that you wanted to draft a running back in the end of the first round or something. You're right. And I think that within that, then comes the idea of, and maybe it's all within the idea of when you look at a running back and they kind of in certain people's eyes look like a gadget back or mm-hmm. a pass catching back, which I think is some of the,
that's what he can do.
Some of the idea of Woody Marks. He made it very clear when he sat down with Mark Vandermeer, with John Harris on Texas All Access. No, I'm capable of toting this rock. Mm-hmm. If he displays that at such a high level that you go, oh, okay, we need to find a way to make sure that he's in here and getting impact and also growing into a place where, these guys that you have, Chubb, Mixon, yes, they're good, but also they're a little bit older on the running back scale without trying to push them out of anybody's door.
Right.
The idea of, oh, we have a dude who's young and that could be the future of this position at the very least on the rookie deal and maybe into a second deal, which is obviously like the upper echelon of a running back in this league. That would be best case scenario. Worst case scenario has to have some level of dealings with like injury issues and, not making the right selections when it comes to cut down day with this particular room.
For me, worst case scenario is very simple, and I don't think this is what's going to happen because, as I mentioned, I'm very high on him right now. But if you look at Nick Chubb and you're like, ooh boy, that's not the Nick Chubb I remember. That's the worst case scenario. If it's just like it ain't there.
You think so? Just Chubb itself?
I don't think that's the worst case scenario because this is literally kicking the tires.
Well, I get it, but then you have to have to rely on Damian Pierce and Woody Marks and J.J. Taylor.
Yeah, I think the worst case scenario is everything can look like it did last season where it was just Joe Mixon. And nobody else, he got to carry all of the load again.
That's kind of where I'm going in the same vein.
Yeah, but I think that would then assume, and I guess it would be a fair question to ask, and it's one that we're going to see, how does Damian Pierce perform in this particular system that we are imagining is going to suit him better? He seems to be pretty excited about the prospect of playing and what he has seen of the Nick Haley offense.
Right.
And so you would have to assume that he also still is not producing in a way that is more akin to year one than it was to last year for him. And then you would also be assuming that Woody Marks is not ready to give you anything. And then you'd also be assuming that like Dare is not sufficient in whatever role that you're asking of him. Like it would have to be a lot of those types of things, which I think would actually be more of a failure on coordinator at that point and obviously general manager at that point. I think it would, for me, the absolute worst case scenario is the position battle playing out in a way where you depend on the wrong guys when you cut down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say that, hey, we're keeping Nick Chubb. You get rid of Damian Pierce. Maybe, maybe there's some level of,
right.
And I don't know if they're willing to go to this place where they're like, hey, Woody Marks is actually going to be our third down back. And thank you, Dare, for everything you've done. And then the guys that you have decided to, put your chips on are not capable of doing that, whether it's like not being sufficient enough, injuries then come into play, or if, Woody Marks just isn't ready at
that
point.
What's best case scenario at wide receiver? And worst.
Best case scenario is the young guys are ready to go, right? Like, that's best case scenario when you talk about Jaden Higgins is willing to take all, is capable of taking all this up. Jalen Knoll is ready to step in and be that next additional level. Or, you know what, actually, the best case scenario is? The best case scenario is that Nick Cassero has a really tough job on cutdown because all these dudes have come out and played well. Because, again, the Mechie thing is also an interesting one. If he comes out and finally shows himself to be the guy that we anticipated when you actually drafted him, even if you have to get rid of him, that's a guy that, hey, anybody want to come give me a trade, like, trade for this cat? Right? Like, and then you're recouping some more draft capital as well. Xavier Hutchinson's another guy that has been good for you, and is, I imagine somewhere in the league can be use him, even if all these guys are, you know, are ready to go. So I think best case scenario is that everybody shows up well, and now you have an opportunity to, you know, get some more capital into this team once you send some of these guys away.
Yeah, I was going to say the best case scenario for the receivers is Higgins. We look at Higgins like, damn, Nick Cassario gave him that guaranteed contract. Fully guaranteed.
That's true.
That's a steal right there.
Yeah.
That's a steal. He playing like a first round pick.
Yeah.
I think that will be probably the best case scenario right now.
I agree. I guess worst case would be some combination of Mechie and Braxton Berrios all of a sudden have to be on the field. I don't know. Maybe they'll thrive. We'll find out.
I think the worst case for me would be similar to the running back position, where it might be again like last season. Yeah. It's only Nico and everybody else is hurt or not really producing. Yeah. Where you back to square one, back to what you was doing last season.
Yeah, I think the optionality of like the young guys being ready and then you're able to kind of make this more of a young room that continues to project even further forward, opening up an offense that has a better window for longer. The only question about that at that point also is then, you know, do you want a room where you don't have a lot of veterans, I guess, per se? But I guess then you would look at Nico is starting to become a little bit more veteran. Of course, Christian Kirk, you import that in. And then what does the depth look like beyond four? Like, is it Justin Watson as your fifth guy or what have you? I don't know. But there you go. A preliminary look at what the best worst case scenarios would be for the important position battles, at least as we think of them right now. A week away from reporting to training camp. A good question from the 713. Where's Jawar Jordan? He was a third round pick, is what the thought was. No, he was a sixth. Jawar Jordan was a sixth. And I don't know that he factors into the picture majorly anyways.
Yeah, I don't either. We'll see.
I mean,
how y'all gonna disrespect that man? Like, no, I'm just playing.
Small back. I enjoy like both him and JJ Taylor. I enjoy when they get on the field. It's evident by the way that the Texans have handled this that they don't view them as like significant answers to anything in a major way. Like at best, they're guys that they feel comfortable bringing in. You know, in instances where you need some depth or what have you. But I like them as players. It's not that they're bad players. I just don't know that they're raised to the level of, you know, mattering, especially for a team that should be contending heavily in the AFC. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Getting going on a Tuesday. Coming up next, the Astros. Obviously, we're in the All-Star break, All-Star game tonight. But let's talk a little bit about the Astros and what do they have to do to guarantee that they'll be in position to make a big run in the second half of the season. And what is your confidence level? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.